from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, in for Michael Krasny. Coming up in the first half of this New Year's Eve hour, who owns Yosemite Park? You might think the answer is, well, it belongs to all of us. But the company that has the concessions contract at the park has filed a claim saying, no, we own the names of places like the Ahwahnee Hotel, Curry Village, and Yosemite Lodge. We'll hike into that controversy. Then at 9:30, chickens and eggs. A new law takes effect tomorrow requiring egg sellers to have larger hen houses. We'll talk about the goal of the new law, its impact on the egg industry, consumers, and the hens. We'll get started right after this. Welcome to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer. Michael Krasny is away, presumably working on his New Year's resolutions. And this hour, we're splitting it in two, and we begin with a controversy brewing at Yosemite National Park. Since 1993, the company Delaware North has run concessions at Yosemite, with the Park Service now soliciting bids for a new concessions agreement. Delaware North has filed legal papers warning that if they lose the contract, they'll be owed $51 million for rights to names like the Ahwahnee Hotel, Curry Village, and Yosemite Lodge. Well, no surprise that environmentalists and others are up in arms over the claim. Some are even calling it extortion. But the Park Service is taking the claim seriously, and we're going to explore them right now. Joining us, Robert Gammon, staff writer and associate editor for the East Bay Express. He's been covering this issue. Robert, good to have you with us this morning.
Good to be with you.
Also here, Lisa Ramsey. She's a professor of law at the University of San Diego School of Law. She teaches and writes in the areas of trademark law, intellectual property, and international intellectual property. Lisa Ramsey, good to have you as well.
Thanks for having me.
And I should say we did invite Delaware North to join us, and they declined. Let me begin with you, Robert. What exactly is the company claiming in these papers that it filed back in July, I believe?
It's claiming that it owns the naming rights to some of Yosemite's most iconic place names. As you mentioned, the Ahwahnee Hotel, Badger Pass, Curry Village, the Wawona Hotel, Yosemite Lodge. And it's claiming that if the National Park Service decides to give the concession agreement to another company, then that company will owe Delaware North $51 million.
And that's based on what? Was that, do they say that was part of the original agreement they signed back in 93?
They're saying that now. Over the past week or 10 days or so, they've been telling reporters, and they sent me a statement saying that they contend that they actually acquired the rights to those names when they received the concession agreement in 1993 from the previous concessionaire, Curry Company, which had had the concession at Yosemite since 1899.
And what is the Park Service saying?
The Park Service was very surprised when they first learned of this, of Delaware North's claims earlier this year, and they contend that the American people own the rights to those names. At this point, there's obviously a legal dispute going on.
And so who is representing the Park Service?
I don't know that they've actually have attorneys hired for the case yet, or I'm sure they have attorneys on staff to handle it.
Yeah, and so as far as you know, and I'll ask Lisa Ramsey this as well, but is there a precedent for this at other national parks?
Delaware North is claiming now that there is, that that a couple other concessionaire agreements it has at other parks, that it has the rights to the names of a few of them. I haven't gotten a response from the Park Service on that, however.
Okay, and Lisa Ramsey, from your perspective, what do you make of these claims that Delaware North is making?
It's a complex case. First of all, companies and even the government can get trademark rights in geographic terms, names of historic places, but you have to show that the trademark is distinctive, right, that it actually identifies a certain source of goods and services. And so here the dispute is not whether you can get rights in these names, but it's who owns the rights. And it seems to me that the National Park Service would be the one who owns the name and is probably claiming that Delaware North is an exclusive licensee of the trademarks rather than an owner of the trademarks.
And from what I could tell, there have been other cases, I think maybe Glacier National Park, where the concessionaire had the rights to a logo And when they lost the contract, they were I think actually a new logo had to be developed. But a logo seems different to me than a name like Ahwahnee, which dates back, I think, to the 1920s.
Well, that's a good point, and to distinguish between logos and the words themselves. For example, I did a search on the Trademark Office website, and for the Yosemite Lodge trademark, the Delaware North owns rights or claims rights to the actual logo or the design, but they actually disclaim any right to the words Yosemite Lodge.
And so, when you look at other precedents beyond the national park system, what do you see? I mean, if you were representing the park, what would you say?
Well, first of all, in what's really important is what the contract says here, right? And so I think, you know, if the contract says that the trademark rights were assigned, right, sold to Delaware North, then Delaware North would own those rights. But I just think it's very unlikely that that was what was put forth in the contract. And so I've seen some news reports about this and where people say, oh, the National Park Service didn't register the marks and therefore they didn't have a trademark. That's not true. Trademark rights are based on use of the mark in commerce. So the moment that the Yosemite Lodge opened up, that the Ahwahnee Hotel opened up, at that point they started establishing goodwill with the public and could claim trademark rights. They don't actually have to register the mark to get rights in the mark.
And Robert Gammon, you, in one of your articles in the East Bay Express, described this company as politically influential. Why do you say that?
They have spent a lot of money on lobbying members of Congress and also state politicians, especially in New York, Florida, and even in California over the years. And
But when you say influential, I mean, what influence have they shown? I mean, it's one thing to lobby for something. What have they done successfully?
Well, they won the Yosemite concession agreement in 1993 without ever having won a concession agreement with a park service before. It was unprecedented. They were mostly known for doing sports stadiums. They'd never done a park service agreement before. And they've, you know, have spent, as I said, a lot of money in Washington, D.C. over the years, making sure that they continue to keep their agreements.
And they're based, I believe, in Buffalo, New York.
Correct.
We are talking about an unusual claim being made by this company, Delaware North, that they own the rights to the names of places in Yosemite Park where they run the concessions, places like the Ahwahnee Lodge. Our guests this half hour, Robert Gammon, staff writer and editor at the East Bay Express, and Lisa Ramsey, professor of law from the University of San Diego School of Law. We're going to open up the phone lines a little early. I suspect folks may have something to say about this controversy. The number to call, 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. You can also email your questions and comments to forum@kqed.org or leave a comment on our Facebook page as well. I'm wondering, Robert Gammon, these papers that have been filed, it comes in the middle of a period where the Park Service is accepting bids for the concessions. What does this do to this company's likelihood of getting the contract renewed?
Well, it's unclear. I mean, it's possible that other potential concessionaires might be scared away by these claims. I mean, if it turns out that Delaware North does, in fact, own the rights to the names of these iconic places and that they are valued in the millions of dollars, then the new concessionaire would have to pay Delaware North.
And so you're saying that just the threat could scare people away, but it seems like you're, Lisa Ramsey, like interfering with a bidding process in a way.
Clearly, they're trying to influence the bidding process here and scare companies away. I mean, often people will make trademark claims to common words and might have trademark rights, but then claim the rights extend to other goods and services. So this is not anything new, a company maybe overclaiming rights. But I think one of the things that's really interesting here, right, again, is who has the trademark rights here. If they have the rights, then you know, perhaps this claim, you know, is not, totally a bad one. But one of the things I've seen them claim, right, is that the reason that they own the rights is because they were given the assets that they could then protect their rights, right, and maybe sue others. But if you're an exclusive licensee, right, as opposed to an owner, you can actually still have standing to sue somebody. So, again, I think it really comes down to who's going to own the rights, and I think, you know, the members of the public, I think as the Park Service has owned these words, and so Perhaps they own designs that they've used in connection with their provision of hotel and restaurant services. But the words themselves, I think, is very troublesome if they claim that they own rights to those words.
And Robert Gammon, what are you hearing from, you know, readers or others who are hearing about this?
Well, clearly, folks in the environmental community are very upset. I mean, Yosemite is the jewel of the National Park Service, the National Park System. And so folks are upset about the potential loss of the use of these names. One of the things the National Park Service has done in its concessionaire request for proposals is told other companies that if this becomes an issue, this fight over the trademark names, then they could potentially rename these historic places. And so folks are pretty upset about that.
And so that would be written into the agreement as a way of
avoiding the
potential
property
payout.
Claim. Right. And so instead of the Awami Hotel, it would be renamed something else. And the Park Service actually put that into its request for proposals.
And so, Lisa Ramsey, that suggests to you what?
What they're trying to do here is encourage others to bid for this and not have to worry about the intellectual property claims. But again, the reason you want to use those names is because they have goodwill with the public. People want to stay at the Yosemite Lodge, at the Hawaii Hotel. They don't want to, stay somewhere else, I think. And so, again, it's very problematic that this company would come in and claim that they are the only ones that can use these words in connection with these hotel and restaurant services.
Talking about this claim by the Delaware North Company that runs concessions in Yosemite to that they actually own the names of the Awani Lodge, Badger Pass, Curry Village, and if they lose the contract, they'll be owed some money. We want to hear from you. What are your thoughts about this? 866-733-6786, the number to call, 866-733-6786. You can also email us. It's forum at kqed.org. Let's go to the phones. And Neil in Palo Alto, good morning.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm good.
If your guest can provide a little more clarity on the $51 million damages claim and then also maybe breaking out the claim of whether it's logos or names, one of your guests gave the example of the Yosemite Lodge where it's a claim for the logo but not the name. And I would expect that the damages estimate would be based on misuse, and I assume there's no misuse yet. So if they could break out sort of whether it really is the names or the logos, and it would seem that the park could go ahead and stop using any logos, assuming it's a valid claim. And if there are not claims to names, then there wouldn't be any damages. But if you guess, if it's possible, if they could break out what really is at stake, whether it's logos or names or some logos, some names, and how there's $1 million damages estimate, even though there hasn't been a break in the relationship yet.
Yeah, good questions. And let me start with you, Robert Gammon. You've been digging into this for a while now.
It's not actually a damage claim. It's Delaware North is saying, if you give us the concession agreement, there's no money is owed to anyone. It's only if you give the concession agreement, National Park Service, to another company, then that company owes us $51 million. How they derived that figure, according to Delaware North, is that they hired a third-party appraiser to look at all of the service marks and trademark names that they've filed at Yosemite, including the most iconic ones. And that's how they came up with the $51 million.
And where would the money come from?
Well, if Delaware North does not get a renewed license agreement, it would be up to the new concessionaire to pay that money, according to Delaware North.
Yeah, which obviously would be potentially, as we said earlier, a huge disincentive to even bid on it.
Correct.
And again, just to the caller's questions, are we talking about logos and names, or is it all the names?
I'm not 100% sure on that. I have not seen exactly the list of service mark and trademark names that Delaware North is claiming. I do know, however, that last week, in response to Delaware North's claims, that the National Park Service put out a memo asserting that it, in fact, owns the rights to these names and listed off several hundred iconic names in Yosemite.
And Lisa Ramsey, what would you add to any of that?
Well, so I did some research on the Trademark Office website, and it looks like some of the marks are just for the words, so the Awani, just the words Awani for the hotel and restaurant services. What's interesting is they also are claiming rights for goods, such as watches, and you know, things like that they sell in the gift shop. So I think that's interesting, too. I wonder if the original contract sets forth any rules as to who would own any trademark rights for it. These types of merchandise that are sold in connection with the hotel or the restaurant.
These are merchant things that they make or designed?
Well, probably how you go to a restaurant or a hotel and they always have a bunch of souvenirs that you can buy that have the name of the restaurant or the hotel on it. That's one of the things that they have a registration for is these kinds of merchandise. Let's see, and then for other marks, the Badger Pass mark, they have a design mark for that. And Curry Village, I believe that's, again, the word. So I think it varies. Some of the trademarks that are registered are designs, some are words. Some have both the words and the designs, and every now and then they do actually disclaim rights to certain words, such as Yosemite or Village, for example, in connection with Curry Village. But they do claim rights to Curry Village.
What's the downside to this company of claiming this? Do you think is there one?
They might seem to be a trademark bully. I think there's been a lot of press recently about people who are overclaiming trademark rights, and some people I think have suggested that. The activity, what they've been doing now might discourage the government from wanting to award the contract to them in the future.
Yeah, well, I was looking at doing a little research on their website. They have a resort on Australia's Great Barrier Reef. Made me wonder, and I would have asked them if they came on, do they feel that they have rights to that name? They also do concessions at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida.
Well, can I tell you, I just actually looked up other trademarks that they either have registered or applied for. And it includes Cape Kennedy Space Center, Space Shuttle Atlantis, and Shuttle Launch Experience Kennedy Space Center. So this is not the only type of park for which they've registered or attempted to register trademarks.
Wow. Well, it seems like they should be in line for a Chutzpah Award.
Yes.
No one wants to comment on that. Okay. Neil, thanks very much for the call. And let's go now to Nate, who is on the I-80 somewhere. Nate, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, a couple of things came to mind as I was listening to this. One was the point that you just made, and I was thinking about that that the young lady made about it might discourage them, the government, from giving them further from working with them in the future. It seems to me to be somewhat, an interesting point because, if you're asking the government to be your partner or to let them be your partner, and you're taking them to court, that's kind of a downer. You don't want to go to bed with somebody who's taking you to court. The thing that I wanted to mention, you had asked earlier about what have they done to show that they've got a lot of influence? And the thing to remember is, and I think you know this, but it's true. And I'm a river outfitter, so I'm pretty sensitive to this issue. When you're dealing with public resources, you're constantly dealing with a changing environment back in Washington D.C. And so it's bad enough for just you, me, and everybody else that has regular jobs, perhaps in the private sector. But when you're on a public resource, that world is a constantly changing world with a constantly changing environment in terms of the what they allow you to do. So you've got to have a presence back there, and it gets costly. And you win some, you lose some. And then last but not least, the last thing I wanted to mention was a lot of folks don't know this, but Yosemite wasn't always a national park when it first became a national park. It actually was California's first state park. The federal government had given Yosemite to the state of California back in the 1800s, and California tried to run it that way for 10 years and decided it was way beyond their ability to manage and gave it back to the U.S. government, and then it eventually became a national park.
Yeah, interesting. All right, Nate, thanks very much for the call. Lisa Ramsey, what has the U.S. Supreme Court said about this kind of thing? Is there are there similar cases that have become that have come before the court?
Well, there's no case that's right on point, but the Supreme Court and others have said that descriptive terms, geographic terms, can be registered as trademarks, and so again, these kinds of words can be registered. The question is, should we allow private companies to register historic place names and things like that? And that does trouble me, I think, because it seems that maybe we don't want a private company get in the position to stop others from using these terms. And if we give trademark rights, you do have a right to prevent people from using these terms in connection with certain goods and services. But what happens is sometimes people will overclaim and claim that people can't use these words in connection with unrelated merchandise or other types of services because they're concerned about consumer confusion. And I can understand, in a sense, why they might want to protect their right. If they did have a trademark, right, you've been providing a certain level of quality. of goods and services. And if this was the kind of mark where you could use it somewhere else besides Yosemite, you wouldn't want some third party coming in and using your trademark. But again, the problem here is that these marks are tied to the specific geographic location, right? Yosemite National Park. And that's why I think perhaps we want to step back and think about whether we want private companies to own trademark rights in these kinds of trademarks.
We got some email. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Robert.
I think it's worth pointing out that, you know, this is considered to be the premier concession agreement in the national park system. And as such, this could be a precedent-setting case. If Delaware North's intellectual property claims scare off other potential bidders, then it could serve as an incentive for concessionaires at other public spaces to assert these same types of claims. Same thing if Delaware North ends up winning this case somehow, if it goes to court. Then you'd potentially have, I would think, concession heirs throughout the United States saying, okay, well, we own the rights to these iconic place names on public land.
Okay, let me add something, too. It seems to me that perhaps Congress should step in and do something about this. I don't see why they couldn't do that.
Yeah. Here's some email. Michael writes, this is a pathetically sad, greedy attempt to keep a contract. Why doesn't the state of Delaware sue these crooks for stealing their name? Or maybe sue the Delaware Indians, perhaps. Also, Laura writes, the greed has no limits. I say if they win rights to the names, then just give them the names and see what they do with them. Let the public vote on new names. And then also Charles writes, isn't Delaware North's contract public? Were their representatives invited? Yes, they were. What comments do they make? Robert, I think you've talked to somebody from the company, right?
I have it. I've exchanged emails with them.
So they haven't been particularly forthcoming?
They didn't respond to my initial inquiries. I made several, and then after my story started to come out, then they responded to the email.
Yeah. So where is this going? This contract was worth $1.5 billion in 1993. The Park Service now is taking bids. Robert, what's the deadline for accepting these bids, and do you have any sense of, has this been a cooled-off interest in getting this concession?
It might have. The Park Service declined to comment when I asked them that question. The reason I say it might is because the original deadline was January 8th, and the Park Service has since extended it till January 21st, citing this very issue as the reason.
So that makes you think maybe they haven't had as many bidders as they'd like.
Right. I asked the Park Service if they would be willing to share the identities of other bidders, and they declined. But they did say that Delaware North has informed other potential bidders of its claims.
All right. We'll continue following this, no doubt, into the new year. Robert Gammon, staff writer and editor for East Bay Express. Lisa Ramsey, professor of law at the University of San Diego School of Law. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
And coming up in the next half hour, we'll be talking about chickens and eggs. A new law, Prop 2, passed a few years ago, requires more space for egg-laying hens, if you want to sell eggs in California, that is. We'll talk about that, the ramifications, and much more. And, of course, we'll take your calls as well. 866-733-6786 is the number. I'm Scott Schaefer. Stay with us.